You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 30 September. We've got Chinese composite PMI came out a few hours ago, weaker, but still 50.3 above that important 50 level. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb global headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth, Transaction Capital exiting SA Taxi mostly. Also, Momentum Results, PSG Financial Services trading update. Jason Swartz from Old Mutual Investment Group, what needs to happen for foreigners to start buying SA Inc. because so far they're only buying our bonds. And Ian Ferguson looking at cash and liquidity in a declining rate environment. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. FSCA issues over 900 million rand in fines in financial year 24. Huge jump from the 100 million in 2023. Business Day, Bidvest changes up gears at its laggard automotive unit. Number of brand points increased and strategic reset is underway in the restructured division. Morning markets, US was red, S&P off a tenth and NASDAQ down 0.5%. In the East, it's mostly green. Sydney's off 4.6%. That is as the Liberal Democrats appoint a supposedly non-market-friendly leader ahead of the elections on 27 September. Sydney is up 0.6, Hong Kong up 2.7, and Tencent up 1%. Commodities, mostly red, gold 2,676, Brent is green 72.59, platinum is 1,013, as is palladium. The rand 17.10, Bitcoin 64,400. Top 40 opening call 400 points to the green. That is 0.5% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Nick Kunze, Senior Portfolio Manager at Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early morning time. Transaction Capital, it's been a long and windy road for them. They obviously unbundled WeBuy Cars earlier in the year, and now they're basically getting rid of their majority stake. Lots of moving parts, turning loans into equity, but ultimately they will own a minority there, and they're going to just be the Newton business, which is a good little business.
Yeah, morning, Simon. It is a good little business. Obviously, this particular, the share code TCP, I mean, it is a shadow of its former self, as you pointed out, after the spin-off of WeBuy Cars. But to your point, you know, that the Newtron is the lending business is still pretty good. In fact, it's a highly profitable business, though smaller it is. But the rest of the business, SA Taxi, Gormal, they have a value-added service. I think there was on the sends. I was trying to dissect the breakdown at Mobilize, which is also a part of that lending book, is also going out. And it's a little bit complicated who's taking over what part of the share ownership, but nevertheless, it is a shadow of its former self, and only up 5%. And you know what? Year to date, you know what WeBuy Cars has done. It's been the right one to be in.
Yeah, WeBuy Cars has absolutely been the really good unbundling, which is not always the case. Sometimes we get some selling pressure. It's done well. We had Momentum Results, and I got to say, the insurers often are hard to understand. Lots of moving parts, but these looked like a really good set of numbers, and market has been liking them. The stock has run quite well so far in 2024, up almost 50%.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was trying to sort of figure out, when I got your note last night to go through some of the stuff, and I thought my first comment was, well, looking at these results, I mean, these are like an A if you're at school. I mean, or an A plus. I mean, they really are that good. I mean, normally I'd headline earnings up 27%, HEPS were higher, operating profits up, final dividends. I mean, you go on, every single line item was a beat. And I have to say, there were sort of rumblings, a couple of months ago that the new CEO, that Janet Murray, is doing some unbelievable stuff there. Like the cohesion, the culture apparently is turning around. It's so important at a business like this. And you have to say they could possibly, you know, continue this ride with the sort of good SA story. Just at a quick glance, I mean, it's looking like a really good business.
And then PSG Consult, although now called PSG Financial Services, name change. Just a trading update. It looks, again, quite strong. Headline and recurring headline earnings per share up 27% to 30%. These are the sort of businesses that, if we continue to see this positivity coming through into our market, brokers should be doing better.
they should be doing better. They should be. But we do need, and I heard something in the intro about the next segment about SA bonds and SA stocks.
Yeah.
But you do need the stocks to come and the foreigners to keep buying our stocks, because they used to own upwards of 40% of our share register. Mm. Not that anymore. So you do need the foreigners to come back in. We do need this sort of good momentum to continue for these guys to, you know, certainly go higher and higher, up almost 20% year to date. Just a word of caution for listeners out there, Simon. I mean, the stock is a little bit on the expensive side right now. You know, it's trading at about a 25 current PE. Yeah. So, you know, you might want to wait a little bit for entry point. But you and I both know, you know, stocks can stay expensive for a little bit longer. You might not get that pullback. But overall, I think nicely positioned for an SA story.
We live with Edna Kunze, Senior Portfolio Manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the early morning time. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for three decades.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Ian Ferguson. He's co-head of Old Mutual Cash and Liquidity Solutions. Ian, appreciate the time. I want to touch on corporates and their cash holdings. Before we do, rate cuts have started. We got the first one from the MPC. Consensus out there seems to be probably we'll get about another 1% over the next many meetings. Does that sort of fit in with the thinking of you and your colleagues?
Yeah, it does, Simon. Thanks for the opportunity. Yes, it does. We're thinking probably 100, 125 in the cycle. Mm-hmm. We're probably looking at possibly another 50 basis points cut come November. You know, obviously a lot depends on the US and where inflation, where the numbers are. But it looks like the US might cut 25, we might get 50. So it all bodes well for the consumer in the, I guess, in the medium term.
Moving on to corporates and getting to some details around just how much cash, but they typically have a pile of cash for different reasons, depending where they sit in industries or perhaps what their expansion plans are. They usually have this in a bank call account or maybe a current account, which, I mean, really is not efficient cash management for a corporate in terms of the yield that you're potentially going to be getting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you think about what's happened to rates, so, you know, the core rate has gone down to sort of 7.75 right now. Money market funds, which we obviously profess to be a better opportunity for corporates, are yielding sort of around about the 8.7%. And the industry does really well in this space. You know, money markets have grown significantly in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And corporates need to look for those opportunities to get their cash working harder for them. I think now you've seen, like, as you mentioned, different industries have different reasons to keep cash. One, because they're unsure of the certainty in the future. Mm-hmm. There was a massive buildup of cash over COVID. And some of that cash has been deployed, but it's still growing above inflation rates, you know. So, you know, if you look at the retailers, they've got reasons to keep cash because they need to pay one at the end of the month.
Yeah.
The mining companies, they go through cycles. So it's a very cyclical business. But ultimately, for the world to go around, you need cash. And it's the bloodline, you know. So you have to have this cash available to exploit opportunities or to buy stock.
And you mentioned sort of the advancement of money market and the sort of funds in the last decade or so. I mean, if there's a cash manager sitting out there from 20 years ago, they're probably like, well, money market. I mean, the point is they offer the attractive yield, but as importantly, they offer that same day liquidity. It's not a liquidity constraint here.
Absolutely. And very importantly, the diversification. So if you think if you're parking with one bank, and obviously there are quite a lot of big banks in South Africa, you're locked into that rate with that bank. Now, what a money market fund does, it spreads the risk between the banks, number one. And secondly, it also gives you that duration element, i.e. a money market fund can invest up to 13 months.
Yeah.
And when rates get cut, if you're lying in a call account, your rate, you know, the next day. So last Friday, everyone's call rates went down by 25 basis points. Now, the nice thing about a money market fund that it's a gradual reduction of 25 points. It takes about 3 months to work out the system because of the 90 days modified duration.
Mm-hmm.
So effectively what you've got, the rate will slowly start ticking down, and where the immediate impact is felt on call rates. You mentioned current account earlier, and that's probably one of the worst places to be because some banks don't even pay interest on current accounts. So at least move from a current account to a call account. And then if you want same day liquidity, which money market funds offer, look at those opportunities because of the risk element, spreading the risk between the banks. And obviously it doesn't tie up your, the liquidity is not impacted because, you know, as long as you give the money market managers like ourselves notice by sort of around about 12:30 each day. Mm-hmm. You know, by 3 o'clock, it reflects in their bank account. So same day liquidity is important.
Yeah, and that is a huge point. But I mean, these days we live in the future. Those sort of things are very possible. You mentioned the amount of money, and in the note you put out, so the non-financial corporate deposit up almost 9% over the year, 1.2 trillion rand. That is a huge cash pile.
Massive. That would exclude the banks and insurance companies, sure, retirement funds. This is like your retailers, your mining companies, your pharmaceuticals, your hospitals, media businesses, your telecoms. Yeah, they've all grown their cash pile because coming out of COVID, there was this lack of uncertainty. Sure. You know, now the genius kicked in. So there's, I guess, people can plan better going forward. But I think there's always that uncertainty, what next? And I guess people are cautious in the way they deploy their cash. You know, are the big retailers going to build new distribution centers? Yes, they would. If they've got a proper roadmap and they can understand where the economy is going, they will deploy the cash. But effectively, yes, this cash balance has been growing in the non-financial part of SA corporate for many, many years now. Yeah, lack of opportunity as well. You know, so if you can find the right opportunities, clearly you're going to deploy your cash. But if you don't, you're going to sit on your hands.
Yeah, 100%. And I suppose the flip side of that is it does mean that as sort of rates come down, we get more certainty. The Government of National Unity continues to prove that it is a functioning and long-lasting. There's some good opportunity here because of that giant pile of cash sitting out there, which can be deployed if the right environment is implemented.
Absolutely. And if you could plow some of that money into the economy, you know, there's lots of growth. You get your growth picking up and more opportunities created around that. So, yes, absolutely. Clearly, we are happy to take the cash.
Sure.
But we're also very happy to give it back where it grows the economy. So I guess it's both sides we need to fulfill.
Yeah, no, 100%. If they want to hold 1.2 trillion, well, then you can help them hold it. But if they want to spend some of it, South Africa would like that as well. Ian Ferguson, co-head, Old Mutual Cash and Liquidity Solutions. Appreciate the time.
The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
I'm chatting with Jason Swartz, portfolio manager at Old Mutual Investment Group. Jason, appreciate the time. Local market's been doing well. Lots of drivers. We've got a Government of National Unity. Rates are coming down. We've got Eskom working, even the China stimulus coming through on Tuesday. But we're still not seeing foreign interest in our equity market.
Yes, correct, Simon. It's a little bit of an anomaly to me. I guess the one theory is that foreigners, you know, have longer time horizons and they prefer to take their time and do some more homework. And when they do allocate, they do that aggressively. I think the other reason could also just be that they would rather wait and see what the outcome of US elections are before allocating to emerging markets. But I mean, you've mentioned all the kind of positive drivers and, you know, it feels like the stars are aligning, but foreigners are just not ready to allocate it.
I want to come back to the emerging markets, but you mentioned the US elections. Let's quickly touch on that. That's now, what, just a little over a month away. We've got Harris, we've got Trump. What's the difference depending on which wins?
Look, Trump obviously has a bias towards America First policy, so it's very isolationist, lots of global tariffs. I think tax cuts are obviously on the cards, deregulation. So probably positive from a corporate perspective. Whereas Harris, I think, you know, probably higher taxes, which will be a bit of a squeeze on corporates. But I think the global sentiment might just be more positive and less trade tension. So it's difficult to really tell. I think one thing that we know is that it'll be difficult to rein in their kind of budget deficit because I think both sides are going to spend and there's not extra revenue sources. I would suspect that it's going to be quite a close call. And if it's Trump, probably more volatility. And if it's Harris, you know, I think markets are probably going to be more concerned about the corporate environment.
You mentioned the debt story, debt to GDP forecast to 122%. That is a giant number. And I appreciate their developed economies. I'm thinking Japan, which are around 200%. But that's a big number and needs solving by whoever the administration is. To your point, not sure how they're going to solve it because raising taxes is not viable and cutting spending, not really either.
You know, I think there are a lot of non-negotiables when you think about some of the expenses. So all the healthcare programs, Social Security, you know, there's just no possibility of cutting those. And, you know, where they're going to find additional revenue from, obviously rates are coming down, so that'll be a little bit of a tailwind.
Sure.
But, you know, it's just a poor outlook. I think the interest expense is likely going to be more than military expense in a couple of years' time. And it kind of makes me think of that saying where, you know, you want to fix the roof when the sun is shining.
Yeah.
They're in a good space in terms of economic growth, but this is the time to actually fix the fiscal situation, and they're not doing it. So, you know, when we go into a slowdown, I think this will be even more exacerbated.
You mentioned slowdown, and in a note you put out, you referred to the Sharm rule. I've followed it quite closely for some time. In its technicalist sense, in its purest sense, it's a predictor of US economic turndown, and it has triggered, as I understand, although some folks say if you take the roundings, it hasn't. But that perhaps brings maybe not a recession, but certainly a slowdown as well, which could be a problem.
Yes, you know, I think Claudia Sahm herself has said that it's not a hard and fast rule. And there definitely, there are conditions this time that could lead to some sort of exceptions. Look, I think if you look at the hard data, particularly at the labor market, there are growing signs that it's starting to crack. Mm-hmm. Consumer spending is also, you know, looking like it's decelerating. And a lot of those tailwinds in terms of the balance sheets are gone. So, you know, we might not get a sharp recession. We could get some sort of shallow or short-lived recession or some sort of slowdown, but it's just unlikely that the US economy like chugs along at 3% growth in perpetuity.
I take your point on that 100%. Bringing it back home, our markets have been running. I mean, we can debate valuation, but they're certainly not in expensive territory. Is there a chance that we start seeing local Reg 28 managers perhaps scaling back some offshore exposure, nuance what we've just been saying, and putting more into the market? It's not taking the place of foreigners, but it's certainly a driver out there.
Certainly, you've seen some of the managers that went early after Reg 28 opened up 2 years ago. That went to 45 immediately. Some of them, if you follow the announcements, are saying they come back from 45 to 40% because the risk of structural reform in South Africa is now improved. So you're getting a little bit of that tailwind in terms of flows coming back. It certainly isn't the case for foreigners buying into that story yet. I think there's a lot of optimism, and I think, you know, they would want to see what happens with interest rates, what happens with elections, whereas, you know, I think locals are a bit closer to what reforms are happening. Certainly understand the benefits of two-pot system and the cycle, the interstate cuts, and just a bit closer to what's happened on the logistics and Eskom side. So you're definitely seeing a little bit of a capitulation from some of those managers that took money off early and are bringing some of that back.
I take your point, and we are closer to it. And also, we are South African. This is our home. This is our country. This really is about perhaps foreigners waiting for to see proper structural reform, to see proper turnarounds happening at Eskom and Transnet. We've certainly got green shoots, but maybe they're just wanting more than that green shoot as well.
Yeah, and even if you talk to rating agencies, I was at a lunch recently with one of them, and the same sort of sentiment, they'd like to see sustainability in the improvement. They'd like to see stability in the GNU. They'd like to see our debt metrics come down substantially. So there's a lot of markers for them that, you know, just takes a little bit of time. And you see the incremental improvements, but they would like to see, you know, maybe 12 months, 18 months of that systematic improvement before they allocate aggressively.
Yeah, I think Agnew is about 100 days old. I think load shedding is probably about 170 or 80 days. It is still early days. We'll leave it there. Jason Swartz, Portfolio Manager, Old Mutual Investment Group. Appreciate the insights.
That's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. What is that trigger to get foreigners buying our local stocks? Is it the GNU working? Is it higher valuations? Maybe it's lower valuations. I mean, Jason makes a point there. 25 doesn't scare Americans. They buy Costco on a PE of 50. That's it for today. I was chatting with Viv Govender from Rand Swiss on Friday, talking the Meta AI and augmented reality announcements from earlier in the week. We asked if Meta was leading with AI and augmented and virtual reality. Almost two-thirds said too early to tell. A fifth said now it seemed to be lagging. The rest said, yep, love their work. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nubuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and a review in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the Money.